Okay, good morning everyone. Chodesh Tov. I sent you all Mikoros on today's shir. I hope you have them. I'd like to talk about a somewhat unusual topic. As you might have noticed from the title, there's actually two things that prompted me to want to discuss this with you today. The first is a couple of weeks ago, I think when we were learning about Korbanos, someone asked about how could it be that Korbanos are a gift to God? Obviously, God lacks nothing. We quoted the Gemara in Brachos, which is the first source over here on your sheet, Amar Reb Yochanan, Kiav Mesayim, Reb Meir, Sifra d'Iyov at Siyam. You see, you can make a Siyam on Iyov as well. So they would say different things, and one of the things he would say is Ashrei mi shegadol b'Torah, v'amalo b'Torah, v'osa nachas ruach liyotro. So it's not just a song, it's a Gemara, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph and Brachos. So Ashrei mi she'osa nachas ruach liyotro. And we quoted this Gemara, and the question was asked, you know, that doesn't seem to make any sense, to give nachas ruach to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the whole notion, and it's, you know, we actually have many places where we see this idea that our avodas Hashem is meant to be a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nefesh HaChaim writes a lot about how when we daven, we should daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this notion of avodas Hashem, especially the idea of Ashrei mi she'osa nachas ruach liyotro, is very problematic. From a philosophical perspective, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing, and therefore, what can we give him? Right? Does he need us? Is he dependent upon us for nachas ruach? If he did, that would imply that he isn't perfect. Chas v'shalom. It would seem to indicate that, like us, he is needy, which of course is not true. It sounds heretical. Yet we hear people saying this all the time. That doing mitzvos makes Hashem happy, it makes him proud, it gives him nachas ruach. So the first thing that I want to consider, we're actually going to do it second, but the first question that I want to bring up is what do we mean when we say things like nachas ruach liyotro? And the truth is that it's not just problematic from a philosophical perspective. It contradicts many psukim. The pasuk in Iyov, for example, says your next sheet, next source, if you sinned, have you harmed him? Have you hurt him? In tzedakah, if you've done mitzvos, if you're righteous, what have you given him? Or what has he taken from your hand? In other words, of course, the idea is that we do mitzvos. Mitzvos are meant for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. We can't give him anything. He's shalem b'chol minei shleimus. So the idea that we could give him nachas or that mitzvos give him something or the like is very problematic. One other source that emphasizes this later when we return to this question, we'll see many more, is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, very famous pasuk, Ma'ashem Elokecha Sho'ol, and it goes on to list all the things that God asks of us, La'avas Hashem Elokecha, and the like. To follow mitzvos, and the pasuk concludes, "L'tov lach." It's for your benefit. And the Ramban, as you see over here in your third source, emphasizes that's because all of mitzvos are l'tov lach. They're for us. They're for our benefit. He lacks nothing. We can't give him anything. He's perfect. So seemingly, the idea of nachas ruach liyotro is very, very hard to understand. So that's the first reason why I want to talk about this topic today. But this first question we'll actually get to second. We're going to do the second question first. And the second reason that I thought of talking about this today is an essay that a friend of mine, Jeff Bloom, shared with me. He wrote this topic on the topic of an idea that I think you'll notice that many in Kiruv, when they're trying to excite people about becoming from, basically make the pitch that if you become from, you'll be happy, you'll be fulfilled. And clearly that works for a lot of people, because so many people are actually very unhappy and they feel empty when they live lives that are pursuing pleasure, glory, whatever it is. And so if you make the case that if the Torah offers lasting happiness, it's something that's worthwhile to consider. Sometimes it's tricky because, you know, people do become frum and then they have very challenging lives subsequently. We don't want to, chas v'shalom, sell people something that isn't, you know, that we can't deliver, that isn't true. But really, I wanted to make a different point here, or my friend Jeff made a different point here, which is that this type of argument that, you know, become frum because it'll make you feel good is not an argument that works for everybody. And he referred me to a fascinating essay. I put a little bit on it on the sheet for you. An essay written by Ellen Willis, who is a pretty famous, actually, left-wing political essayist, journalist, a feminist. She was a pop music critic, I think, for The New Yorker. She passed away a couple of years ago. Anyhow, after her brother became Orthodox, she actually decided that she would try to talk him out of it, and she was a bit surprised she didn't succeed. So she went to Eretz Yisrael. This was in the 70s, Teisha Torah, I guess, to try to, you know, bring him back. And much to her surprise, she actually found herself considering becoming from herself. And that was pretty remarkable because ideologically, she couldn't have been farther away from Orthodox Judaism. And even though in the end she didn't become from, the fact that she even considered it is pretty remarkable. And she wrote an article about this. It was entitled "The Next Year in Jerusalem." It was originally published in Rolling Stone in 1977, more recently republished in a collection of essays that she wrote. I've remarkably actually found the article on the Eish HaTorah website, which is sort of interesting because, like I said, in the end, she didn't become from. But they have the article on their website. You could read it. And what's very fascinating is that underneath her rejection of this religious tradition was a longing for God that she didn't find was fulfilled. She was someone who was very self-conscious. She was drowning in herself, and she was looking for a way to transcend herself. And she was looking for to surrender her ego, a existence where a person's sense of independent selfhood dissolves and unites with something bigger. And one might have thought that you would find that path to self-transcendence in religion and Judaism. And at least what she writes in this article is that's not what was presented to her. There are a couple of interesting exchanges between her and Rav Noach Weinberg that are presented in this article. Rav Noach was, of course, one of the most successful Makarvim ever. He was someone who was incredibly, incredibly passionate, and he literally changed thousands of people's lives. He was someone who was driven to, you know, he was so bothered by this state. Her name was Ellen Willis. It's in the Makarvus here. He was driven to, you know, terribly bothered by this state of Judaism, where people were not from and intermarrying and the like. And I think that I read that Jonasson Rosenblum wrote, I don't know if it's out yet, a biography about Rav Noach, which I look forward to reading. He was an incredible person. So in this article, she records several conversations that she had with Rav Noach. So In one of them, he asks her, this is you have here in your Makoro sheets, why was the world created? For our pleasure. What is the one thing we're capable of doing? Seeking pleasure. So how can we go wrong? Insanity. Tell me, Rybnov asks her, what's the opposite of pleasure? Pain, I said. No, no. The opposite of pleasure is comfort. Pleasure involves pain. Decadence is opting for comfort. For example, he goes on, you can read the article, and basically says to her that, he says to her that, you know, you're writing because, you know, you want money or you want to become famous or the like. So she objects. She says, unfair. Do you really think I write just to get my name in print? He responded, I think you do it to have an identity, to be a writer. And she responds, I like having that, but would you believe that I write mainly because I enjoy it and I'm good at it? And definitely, I think it's useful work. And later, on her last night in Israel, she made another visit to the rabbi. He was conversing with someone else, and she records their conversation. So he says to this fellow, come to our yeshiva, find out what Judaism has to say about these questions. For instance, why are we here? What are we here for? To serve God? No. The world was created to give man pleasure. The Torah tells us how to get it. The Almighty didn't want us wandering around like chickens with their heads chopped off. That was the pitch he was making. So, you know, it's, again, we don't have Reb Noach's side of the story. We have hers, but the way she presents it is that that the rabbi sort of misunderstood her. They saw her as someone who was pursuing selfish pleasures, but all they offered her was basically a highly refined spiritual hedonism. Trade in your lowbrow pleasures for our highbrow pleasures. But again, the way she presents it was that she wasn't looking for pleasure per se, or a life that's focused on herself. She was looking to surrender herself. And that wasn't the Judaism that was presented to her. The pitch that's made is basically one that's self-interested, that she would have a more pleasurable life, ultimately, if she became from. And the pitch was, you know, much more about what God could do for you than what you could do for God. God could provide you this pleasurable life, this happy life. And it's certainly true. I don't want to take away, we'll return to this point later, but really a life of meaning is one which is pleasurable to live as well. And Ovid Hashem, generally speaking, is living a life of simcha and a life where there is nothing meaningful and you're just running after pleasures is one that will feel empty. But this pitch, at least, you know, in her case, didn't work. And you almost get the impression, this is what Jeff was arguing, that if they would have told her that when you serve God, you're supposed to stop thinking about yourself and your needs and start thinking about God's needs, as it were, that there are opportunities to transcend the self, to get beyond themselves. If it's an avodah of bittul, of self-nullification, where there is no self that's a separate entity from God, which is, you know, certainly an idea that you see emphasized in many Sfarim. For, you know, one thinker that stresses this a lot certainly is the Alter Rebbe and Tanya and the like, that she would have responded differently. Now, again, to be fair, there, that's not a message that probably works for most people, and probably a message that speaks to more people, and is also true, is what Rybnov was saying, But it's something to think about. It actually reminds me of comments that the Rav made about the Akedah, which you have over here. What did Avraham Avinu feel when he was asked to do the Akedah? And what's the message of the Akedah in our own service of God? So the Rav certainly emphasized, and the Midrashim that sound this way as well, that the message of the Akedah is one of sacrifice, and that sacrifice is an essential part of the religious experience. You have over here a piece from the Rav in Divrei Hashkafa. I put it in Hebrew and English. I'll just read the English, which you have over here on your sheets below the Hebrew. I recoil from all the talk that goes round and round a single topic, that the observance of mitzvos is beneficial for digestion, for sound sleep, for family harmony, for social position. The religious act is fundamentally an experience of suffering. When man meets God, God demands self-sacrifice, which expresses itself in struggle with his primitive passions, in breaking his will, in accepting a transcendental burden, in giving up exaggerated carnal desire, in occasional withdrawal from the sweetened pleasure, in dedication to the strangely bitter, in clash with the secular rule, and in his yearning for a paradoxical world that is incomprehensible to others. Offer your sacrifice. This is the fundamental command given to man of religion, the chosen of the nation from the moment that they revealed God, occupy themselves in a continual act of sacrifice. God says to Avram, take now your son, your only one, the one who you love, Yitzchak. That is to say, I demand of you the greatest sacrifice. I want your son, who is your only son, and also the one whom you love. Do not fool yourself to think that after you obey me and bring your son for a burnt offering, I will give you another son in place of Yitzchak. When Yitzchak will be slaughtered on the altar, you will remain alone and childless. You will not have another child. You will live your life in incomparable solitude. I want your only son, who is irreplaceable. Neither should you think that you will succeed to forget Yitzchak and remove him from your mind. All your life, you will be thinking of him. I'm interested in your son, whom you love, and whom you will love forever. You will spend your nights awake, picking at your emotional wounds. Out of your sleep, you will call for Yitzchak, and when you wake up, you will find your tent desolate and forsaken. Your life will turn into a long chain of emotional suffering. And nevertheless, I demand this sacrifice. Clearly, the experience, which was rooted in dread and suffering, ended in ceaseless joy. When Avram removed his son from the altar at the angel's command, his suffering turned into everlasting gladness, his dread into perpetual happiness. The religious act begins with the sacrifice of oneself and ends with finding of that self. But man cannot find himself without sacrificing himself prior to the finding. This is an incredible passage, an incredible passage. You know, he's getting it from the Psukim. Kach nas binchas ichitchas yerahavdas Yitzchak. Hashem doesn't promise anything in return. He doesn't try to minimize the love that he had. It's the act of religion is one of sacrifice. And again, ultimately, it does lead to that joy. But it's not one which is always pleasant. And if you're attracted to it just because you're looking for good digestion, you won't always be happy. My good friend, Rav Yosef Bronstein, told me that he gives a class in which he tries to look at different thinkers and what they emphasize the most. So certain Hasidic thinkers, for example, if you look at the writings, the emphasis is clearly one of Avas Hashem and Simcha. And he noted that in studying the writings of Rav Lichtenstein, which I think are somewhat following this line of thought, it's one, the emphasis, he talks a lot more about Yira and Om Malchus Shemayim and even sacrifice than Avas Hashem. So what should motivate us? In other words, if our motivation is not good digestion or happiness or the like, what should be behind our avodas Hashem? What should motivate us? So we'll take a look here in a very, very famous passage, I'm sure, one which you all know. This is from the very end of Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam. Al yomar adam hareini ose mitzvos ha-Torah v'osek b'chachmasa k'dei she'akabel ha-brachos ha-ksuvos b'Torah. A person shouldn't serve God to get the brachos promised in the Torah, wealth, prosperity, peace, or even Kadesh Ezkel Chayim Haba. In other words, just like serving God to be rewarded in Olam Hazeh is being Oved Esarav al Menas Lakabel Pras, so too, serving God to get rewarded in Olam Haba is also being Oved Es Hashem. This is not the proper way to be Oved Hashem. Sha'oved al derech zu hu oved miyira. This is serving God out of yira. Ve'ena mailas hanavim v'lo mailas hachachamim. This is not the mile of nevim or chachamim. Now, it's important to note, and we won't focus on this today, but obviously the Rambam here is distinguishing between different types of yira. There's a certain type of yira which everybody must have. It is the mile of chachamim and neviim and the like, as the Rambam explains. The yira saromimus in parak beis, the yira shemayim in parak beis of Hilchos Yisonei HaTorah. Where Ha'echia Derech La'avasu V'yiraso, the Yiras Shemayim of the Yiras HaRomimus, that's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about Yira that's rooted in the self, in whether it's the desire for reward in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, or the fear of punishment or the like. This is not the Maila of Nevi'im or Chachamim. Vein Oved Es Hashem Al Derech Zu El Ami Ha'aretz V'Hanashim V'Aktanim. So there is a role here of this type of incentive. You should be Oved Esarav al Menas Lekabel Pras in order to get to a level of Lishma, Mitov Shalom Lishma Ba Lishma. The Rambam certainly acknowledges here that in the chinuch of a person, this plays a role, but it's certainly not one which should motivate a person. So what should motivate a person? The Rambam says so powerfully, Ha'oved me'ava, oseik b'Torah uv'mitzvos, v'holech b'nesivos ha'chachma, lo mipnei davar ba'olam, lo mipnei yiras hara, v'lo lirash tova, ela ose ha'emes mipnei shu emes, v'sof ha'tova lava. So why should you do it? You should be Oved Hashem me'ava na'ir. What does ava mean? When you love a person, you do things for them, not because you're hoping to get rewarded. It's not because you're afraid that they'll punish you. It's not because they're going to pay you. It's because you love them. And Oved Hashem me'ava means the same thing. So what does it mean? So the Rambam says, Ava Hashem is doing what's right because it's right. Doing what's emes because it's emes. Of course, there is schar, sofa tova lavo. The Rambam writes this after he spent a couple of prakim describing what is Olam Haba, and that Olam Haba is the most incredible pleasure, something totally beyond our ability to comprehend, something that's far greater than anything we could even imagine in this world. The Rambam isn't denying the schar. The schar is certainly there, but that shouldn't be the motivation. So, now, of course, the matter isn't so simple. You know, the Mesilas Yesharim, on the other hand, we'll read it in a moment, you know, does start off when telling us what's the Sod HaChasidus V'Shar Shavoda. What's so important to know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for our pleasure. And again, a little later, I hope today, maybe next time, we'll talk a little bit about why did Hashem create the world. We'll talk about that, Mesil Sham. Mesil Sham, though, certainly starts with that idea that Rav Noach was saying, that the world was created to give us pleasure. And the greatest possible pleasure is the pleasure that's associated with closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avodas Hashem. So which one is it? Now, I would also add something within even the Rambam. Because even though we just read in the Rambam that serving God to get rewarded is a very low level, and that a person should serve God out of love to do what's MS, Mepneshu MS. But he also writes that very few people reach this level. Let's read on in the Rambam. Umayla zu himayla gedola ad me'od. Ve'en kol chacham zochala. This mayla, to be Oved Me'ava, to be Osas Emes Mepneshu Emes, to do what's true because it's true, that is an incredibly high madrega. Not even every chacham reaches this level. Ve'himaylas Avram Avinu. Shenikru shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oavo. Lefishalo avad ela me'ava. This was the mile of Avram Avinu. V'himaylas mailas shetivanu ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu aydei Moshe Rabbeinu shenemar be'avtas Hashem lokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ne'odecha. V'zman sheyeha ves Hashem ava re'uya miyad yaseh kol ha'mitzvos mi'ava. So it's very strange, really, if you think about it, because Rambam here says two things. First, he says that the madrega of being Oved Hashem for self-interest, like to be rewarded, is a very, very low level. The level of children, of Am Ha'aretz, it's a very low level. And then he says, and rather, that you should be Oved Hashem Me'ava, right? And what's that? That was Avram Avinu, an incredible madrega. Very few people, even very few chachamim, are zocha to it. So which one is it, right? Like, what about everybody in between those low-level people and Avram Avinu? So the answer is clear. The Rambam is saying that Avram's madrega was extremely high because, like it says, lefishalo avad ela me'ava, it was 100% me'ava. That's something that is extraordinary. To someone who is motivated entirely by their love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They do what's true only because it's true. It's totally beyond themselves. It's not about themselves at all. That's an incredibly high madrega. That's a madrega of Avraham Avinu. Someone who's entirely motivated by Yira, by self-interest, by reward, that's a very low level. Most people lie somewhere in between. We're complex people. We certainly haven't reached the madrega of Avraham Avinu where we have totally transcended ourselves. But at the same time, hopefully we're somewhat beyond the very low level where it's entirely an avoda of self-interest. Now, of course, it's a process throughout our lives. Hopefully we grow in that way. I should also point out, by the way, this is I don't want to get into it right now, but the Rambam says you shouldn't be motivated by desire for Olam Haba. It doesn't mean you shouldn't long for Olam Haba. The Rambam says, Kama Kama David, how much did David long for Olam Haba? As it says, Lulei Hamanti Liros Hashem Be'eretz Achayim. So what does that mean? David HaMelech was that low madrega? No, Chas V'Shalom. The pshat is that he wanted Olam Haba because Olam Haba is the makom of Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible, and that's only possible in Olam Haba. There's not a problem to long for Olam Haba. The objection that the Rambam has is being motivated by Olam Haba. You're doing it about yourself. Adarabba. Someone who achieves that love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will long for Olam Haba, not because they want to be rewarded, but because they wish to embrace their lover, as the Rambam continues to write in the next halacha, that the love that we're supposed to have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the lover of a man and a woman who fall in love. They're supposed to be lovesick, such that we're only thinking about God all the time. So again, the problem is motivation. Wanting Olam Haba is adarabba, is a very good thing. But anyway, going back to the point. So again, there's a person who's entirely motivated by their own self-interest, by the reward and the like.
Olam Haba?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
Where does the Rambam say you shouldn't serve Hashem for Olam Haba? I just didn't see that in the...
The Rambam said over here that if you... Al Yomar Adam Hareini Osa Mitzvos HaTorah V'Osik B'Chachmasa Kadesha Kabel Avrachos Aksuvos B'Torah O Kadesha Ezke L'Chayel Maba. A person shouldn't say, I'm going to do Torah and Mitzvos to get Olam Haba. Or separate from the Averos so I won't lose my Olam Haba. Ein ro'i la'avod es Hashem al derech zu. This is not a proper path for avodas Hashem. Shovid avod, right? So he says explicitly that someone who's ovid Hashem, kadesh eske l'chayel haba, is not following the proper path.
I just wasn't sure where Rebbe was reading.
Do you have the Makoros?
Yeah, I see the Rambam for Hilchos Tshuva and Rambam Hekdama L'Perek Chelek.
We're not up to the Perek Chelek yet, just Hilchos Tshuva. We're getting there. Okay, the diuk is from Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yod Halacha Aleph. Al Yomar Adam Hareini Osa Mitzvos V'Osik B'Torah Kadesha Ezka L'Chai Olam Haba. Person should not say, I'm going to do Torah Mitzvos to get Olam Haba. Okay. Now, this point that we're making is one which is very subtle, and it can't be, one has to be very careful when they say this. You know, there was once a very great man who made this point about how you shouldn't be motivated for Olam Haba. And his name was Akavya ben Malala. And he taught, as the Mishnah teaches us in Pirkei Avos, we all read it last week, the source of this Rambam. Person should not be Oved Hashem Amanas L'Kabel Pras. And as the Rambam explains, that means even to get Olam Haba. And in this shir, where he taught this lesson, were two probably very intelligent people. Their names were Tzadok and Baisus. And they misunderstood what Akavya was saying. They misunderstood their teacher. And because of that misunderstanding, they formed a deviant sects that caused colossal harm. They formed the Tzedukim and the Baisusim. Because they understood that their teacher was telling them that you're not going to be rewarded. You should do what's right because it's right. But you won't be rewarded. And when they heard that message, they said, well, then who needs it? And they left. And they brought others with them. And that's why the Mishnah later on in Pirkei Avos says, Chachamim hizaru bidvareichem. Chachamim, be very careful about what you say. Because even though what Akavya said was correct, and the Rambam, as we saw, just paskened it, even though what he said was correct, but the way in which he said it, the way in which he taught that, caused untold damage. And the Rambam makes this point in his Hakdavah Perek Chelek, which is your next source over here. V'lachein hetiru l'hamon sheyisharu kefi daitam lasos hatov l'tikvas hagmul ul'hisrachek min haraos miras haonesh. That's why they were matir. They were okay with most people, with the masses of people, being motivated in their avodas Hashem by reward and punishment. V'ekpidu al Antignus. Oh, sorry, it's Antignus. Yeah, I think I said the wrong person. Okay, I said Akavya. It's Antignus. V'ekpidu al Antignus. They were makbid on Antignus Yisocho, al Shapir same behamon, ma Shapir same, v'amru b'kach hachamim yizaru bidvareichem. Antignus, his message wasn't wrong, but it was wrong because he publicized it. And that caused damage, because that's a message that most people can't accept. That's a message, you know, most people have to be motivated by schar and onesh. They can't get past themselves. Ve'en hamon mafsidin legamrei biyosa mekaymenes hamitzvos mirsa onesh v'tikvas aschar. And it's not like so bad when a person goes ahead and is obed Hashem to be rewarded. Ela she'enem shlemim. Okay, their ovodas Hashem isn't shalem. Avamutav lahem bekach kedei she'tikne lahem tchuna v'achshar l'kiyam haTorah v'yavu el ha'emes v'yuame ovdim me'ava. You know, what we should teach people publicly, as it were, is to be Ovid Hashem because of Schar V'Onesh, and that will eventually bring them to Ava. Mitoch shelo lishma balishma. V'amram aleim ha'shalom li'olam yasok adam b'torah filu shelo lishma shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. So the Rambam over here is telling us that while the greatest level of Avodas Hashem is one where someone is transcended themselves, when they're Oven Me'ava, when they're Osinus Emes Mipneshu Emes. But that's a message that you have to be very careful about telling people. And it doesn't work necessarily, and sometimes it even pushes people away. So, you know, when we're talking about the question of practically speaking, what's a good message for Kirov, Lavdafka Kirov, you know, to inspire anyone, you know, you see that even the Rambam didn't think it was so pashat. Even though he does paskin in the ruling of Antigonus, as we saw, but he does so only after, you know, he spent several prakim talking about how wonderful Olam Haba is, and he refers back to that sof haschar level. I think, you know, there's another thought I had when reading that article on by Willis, which is sort of a parenthetical point. I don't want to get into it so much, but it relates to something that's very interesting, which is, you know, is being brutally honest a good thing? Sometimes people are very, very honest with themselves, including sort of being honest with their own self-interests and recognizing that that, you know, what motivates them is themselves, that they're totally self-absorbed and self-interested. And of course, honesty is very valuable. You have to be careful with sometimes being too honest. You know, there were some great leaders in our tradition who were brutally honest. You know, the Kutzker comes to mind, the Altar of Nevardik, people who were always stressing how, you know, we have to be absolutely honest with ourselves and our motivation, and you know, we shouldn't trick ourselves into thinking that, you know, we're motivated by Lishma, when oftentimes we're really not. The truth is, though, that when you study those great leaders, you'll find that their approach never became mainstream Judaism or created like a long last. They had an impact on Yiddishkeit. But that madrega, that avoda, was something that most people couldn't handle. Now is another time we could talk about, you know, their stories, the story of the Kutzker, the story of the Altar and the Vardik. It's an important story to know. But for now, we don't have time. But it's worth noting that. Which goes back to sort of that hyper-critical, self-critical aspect that comes up in that article. But going back, I think to a more basic point, you know, the Rambam here is telling us something very important, which is, on the one hand, we have to be aware of what the highest level of Avodas Hashem is. But also that the Torah addresses people where they are. And it tells us how to live our lives based off of who we are. And it deals with the reality. And the reality is that most people are largely self-focused and struggle getting beyond themselves. They struggle getting beyond themselves in their relationships with other people. And certainly they struggle getting beyond themselves in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah meets us where we are. The Rambam writes this so many times about how, on the one hand, it might be true that the highest level of Avodas Hashem is, let's say, something that's totally contemplative, in which we're always focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thinking about him. And the emphasis is contemplation and thought, and not even mitzvos, and not even tefillah, certainly not korbanos. And the Rambam writes that, you know, that's not the derech of the Torah, even if it's true that in a sense that's the highest madrega, and it's a madrega which some tzaddikim reached, where they're always thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's even something that to some degree we should strive for. But the Torah really meets us where we are and tells us how to be Oved Hashem where we are. He makes a mashal. He says that, like the Pasuk says in Parshas Beshalach, that Lo nacham Hashem derech eretz plishtim ki karov hu, ki amar Elokim peni nechem ha'arim berosam nolchama v'shavu Mitzrayim. He says, look, you know, there was a straightforward way to get to Eretz Yisrael, and that was derech eretz plishtim. And Hashem did not send them on that way, because it wouldn't have worked. It's true, it was the most straightforward way, but it wouldn't have worked, because they would have been Rohan Milchama and been Shavu Mitzrayim. And we have to, the Torah guides us in terms of how to be Ovid Hashem where we are. And where we are, at least where most people are, is in a place where, again, hopefully we're not entirely self-centered and selfish, but we are largely motivated by ourselves. And that really brings us back to the Hakdama to the Mesilas Yesharim. So let's look at the Hakdama to the Mesilas Yesharim. It's your next source over here. Yisod HaChasidim V'Shar Shavoda Tmima Hu She'Yizbarer V'Yis'Ameis Eitzel HaAdam Machol V'Aso Be'Olamo. The Lema Tzarech She'Yasim Mabatov U'Magamaso B'Chol Asher Hu Amel Kol Yimei Chayav. So the Mesilas Yesharim is telling us, you know, he's about to tell us a bit of hashkafa, a hashkafic idea, why God created the world, the purpose of creation. But the Ramchal tells us that this idea is not just like a hashkafic class, you know, something that you take on Friday mornings in smicha. It's something that is very fundamental for every Oved Hashem to know. It's the Yesod HaChasidus V'Shorash Avodah Tmima. You have to know why we're here and what we focus on. So what is it? What's this great secret that we all have to know? V'hine ma shehorunu chachameinu zichronam levracha hu, she'adam lo nivra elo lis'aneg al Hashem ve'lehanos meziv shchinaso. That man was created to take pleasure in God, this aneg al Hashem, and lehanos, to get hana meziv shchinaso. Shezeu atayinu ha'amiti, ba'idun ha'gadol mikol ha'idunim sheicholim lihimatzei. This is the greatest possible tainug. U'makom ha'idun hazeh be'emes u'olam haba. And the place of this great pleasure, like the Rambam said, is olam haba. Ki hu nivra ba'achana ha'mitzdareches ledavar hazeh. Because that's the goal. That's what Olam Haba was created for. It was created for Olam Haba. Ach haderech kedei lagi al mechos chefzein huzeh, huzeh ha'olam. So how do we get there? Through Olam Hazeh. V'um Hashem ruch zichronam levracha ha'olam hazeh dom leprozdor bifnei Olam Haba. This world is like a prozdor to get to Olam Haba. Hayom asosam u'machar lekabel scharam. And the emtzayim, the way we get there, is through Torah and through mitzvos and the like. That's a idea that we all have to know. And the truth is, I have to say that, you know, when I first thought about that passage, I was a little shocked, because to me it sounded like he was endorsing a form of spiritual hedonism. The greatest pleasure, conceivable pleasure, is Olam Haba. That's the purpose of our existence. Knowing this is the foundation of saintliness, it's the root of perfection and a service of God. It sounds like you're just serving God for Olam Haba, and that's okay. And even ideal. Rav Kook actually writes in the next source that this idea, initially at the least, very least, sounds very grating, almost egotistic. Take a look at the Rav Kook over here. This is from Shmona Ktzavim, Kvatzim. When we begin studying Mesil Yesharim, she soda chasidus hu sha'adam lo nivra ela lisanig al Hashem lelehanos mizishchinaso shezo atayna gamiti v'idun ha'nitzchi nisalek ha'chosh ha'musari shelanu mipnei ha'egoismus. The ethical feelings recoil in the face of the egoism. The avas ha'taynug in the love of pleasure should be yisod zeh. The tovim anachnu yisod yoser tahor v'naki mishum ta'aroves hana. This is very much what actually that article was describing. You know, we look for something more pure. We look for something more refined, not something that's just about pleasure. And Rav Kook responds, and actually here and in some other places, and in a very complex and sophisticated way. He says, first of all, it's important to know that in order for a person to really grow, you sometimes have to descend from that naive pedestal of idealism in order to climb a multi-tiered ladder. As we saw, even the Rambam says, you can't start off with love. And sometimes a person is so so naive and so self-righteous and the like. And they say, you know, I want to do what's right because it's right. And then they don't do anything at all. As a person matures, first of all, he'll recognize the purity of desiring a spiritual pleasure, right? Remember we said before for the Rambam that David HaMelech desired Olam Haba. And that there's nothing wrong with desiring Olam Haba. Again, it's not the same as saying that's the motivation, but that desire for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is really what the Ramchal is talking about over here. The Ramchal is not saying you should be motivated by Olam Haba, but he is saying that you should be aware that the greatest possible pleasure is Olam Haba, is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amnam zehu goral ha'olam the Adam, she yered kvar bereshis yitiraso me hatchuna hatehora asher lahadilil haidealiut haeliona the hushvisa etzlo hatehara haatzilus. Umilamata hutzarach letafes lamala lamala. You have to start from the bottom and rise in those rungs. Yisbar lo amnam achar kach shemusag tainug ze shel his angus al Hashem hu hatochen hatahor shebidialiut hayoser tahora. The desire for Olam Haba, the desire of closeness to God, which is an incredible, incredible, pure idealism. She efshar levata b'shum hagah enoshi. We can't even imagine it. We can't describe it. Murgeshet hi hargasha mu'etes b'she'ifas ha'lev ha'tahor b'saluso me'al kol ha'mitzarim ha'mitzavtzivim also. Right? The truth is that the desire for Olam Haba is one of transcending yourself because you're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeu rak tzel shel tzel tzilalash shel ha'she'ifa ha'liona ha'nekia mikol iruv gas. So the Rambam, Rav Kook is writing here that, you know, we feel this feeling ever so slightly when we have the ambition to transcend the boundaries that constrict it. And that's just a tiny schmeck, shadow of a shadow of this exalted ambition, which is beyond any type of taroves. And the truth is that when you read on in Mesil Shisharm, and this is what's so important, the Mesil Shisharm is not advocating spiritual hedonism at all. While you have to know why we're created and the purpose of Olam Haba and what it is, The goal of the Ovid Hashem is to serve Hashem me'ava, and that's something that is totally not about yourself. Now, I think it's very important that the Mesilas Yesharim doesn't get to that right away. He starts in his Hakdama with the awareness that we all have to know that the greatest possible tainug is Olam Haba. But he talks about motivation later on in the work. Really, we're going to skip to Perek Yotes, which is already in his discussion of Chasidus. And he says, you know, what is a Chasid? What is a Chasid? What does it mean to be a Chasid? V'hine zos vadei she'ava zos sarech shalotia ava t'liya bedavar. A Chasid is someone who's motivated, who's driven by avas Hashem, and it's through ava. It's not ava ha'tluya bedavar. Dehainu sheyeha v'sabore yisborach al shemete ve'lov umashiro umatzliachoso ela ke'avas haben la'aviv sheava tivis mamish shetivo machricho v'kofeilu zeh. It's a natural love, like when a child loves a parent. K'maimer ha'kasov halohu avicha konecha. And we're not going to read this now. It's very important, but we're nearly out of time. But let's skip to where it's bolded. V'hine biarnu adhena chasidus mashatoli b'maisiv ofen asiyah nevar ata tluya b'kavana. So what's the kavana that's supposed to be motivating a chasid? V'kvar dibarnu gamken l'mayla minyan l'shma v'shalo l'shma l'madro goseyam. Amnam vaday shemishim eskabim b'avodasu l'tar nafsho l'fnei baro l'man tizke l'sheves Espanov, Bichlal, Hayashar, Machasidim, Lachlos, Benam, Hashem, Lubaka, Bichalol, Lakabal, Agmul, Asher, Bolum Haba, Lonucha, Lomar, Shetia, Kavana, Zura, Achain, Lonucha, Lomar, Gamkein, Shetia, Yoser, Tov. Kiacha, Adam, Miskavim, Latova, Sato, as long as you're thinking about and motivated your own goodness, even if it's Olam Haba, Sof, Sof, Avodasal, Tzorachatzmo, in the end of the day, he's just serving himself. Ach, ha-kavana ha-mitis ha-mitsuya b'chasidim. So what is the true kavana that chasidim have? Asher tarchu v'shtadlu l'hasiga, that they worked so hard to arrive at. Hu sheyiyah ha-adam oved rak l'man asher kvodo shel ha-adon baruch hu yigdal v'yirbe. Your whole motivation is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'hagdil kvodo. B'zeh yiyah achar shezgaber b'avay lav yisporach. What do you want more than anything else? Kvod Malchus Shemayim. Umitzta'er al kol sheyimayit mimenu. And what troubles you more than anything else is the mi'ut kvod Shemayim. Ki az yavod avodaso l'tachlezen. That's what motivates you. Shelefachos mitzido ye kvodo yisbarach mizgadal yisave. Kol shar bnei adam mi'u kemochein. That's what you want everybody to be Ovid Hashem. Yitzhar, bis aneach ama, she mema'atim shar bnei adam. And therefore, it so much troubles you when other people aren't doing this. So, what is a chassid? A chassid is someone who's motivated entirely by their love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we saw in the Rambam. Of course, they want Olam Haba, to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's not their motivation. That's not their motivation. It's a motivation of love. Now, again, I don't think this has to mean you're supposed to defer any pleasures till the afterlife. First of all, communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an incredibly pleasurable experience, even in Olam Hazeh. Maybe what we experience in Olam Hazeh is nothing compared to Olam Haba, but it's not nothing. You know, the Rambam always stresses, and this is so important, he always associates Avas Hashem with Tainug. Take a look at one place, but you'll see it again and again. This is the Rambam in Mitzvah Saseh, the Mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So the Rambam writes, "Va mitzvah shlishis, hishetzivanu la'avo, yis'ala, V'zeh shenesbonein v'naskil mitzvosav v'pulosav ad shenasigehu v'nisaneg v'asagaso tachlis hatainug v'zosi ha'ava mechuyav. This is unbelievable. What's the shir in Avas Hashem? That you have the tachlis hatainug. The Rambam doesn't just say, yeah, you know, if you love Hashem, that's a pleasurable experience. He says so much more. He says that's the sheer of Avas Hashem. You have to love Hashem so much that it's pleasurable, because whenever you spend time with someone you love, that's pleasurable. When you give something to someone you love, that brings you joy. And that's not just like a side benefit. The Rambam writes, ad shenasigehu v'nis aneg b'hasagaso tachlis hatainug. V'zos hi ha'ava mechuyavis. That's the shir of Avas Hashem. Hine kvar bi'arnu l'cha ki b'staklos tis'ames l'cha ha'saga v'yagia hatainug v'tavo ha'ava b'chmech. So if you think about these things and you study Torah and you think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're over Hashem, the ava will come, the tainug will come. He actually says the tainug will come first and the ava will come, bechreach. And Rav Kook, we don't have time to read it, the next source over here also writes about the intense pleasure associated with being oved Hashem. And again, the ultimate place for this is Olam Haba, but it's totally shayach in this world. So the Mesillas Yesharim starts off with what might sound like a somewhat hedonistic message, a spiritually hedonistic message. And he only clarifies later, in the later chapters, especially when talking about Hasidim, that, you know, when I talk about Olam Haba, I don't mean that's what's supposed to be motivating you. But I think it's no accident. You know, many people start Mesillas Yesharim, they don't necessarily get the Perek Yates. The Ramchal knew that. And the Ramchal is saying, you know, what everybody has to know is that there's going to be this tainug that we can't imagine, this tainug that we can't describe, that it was created for this tainug, and that's Olam Haba. So, you know, going back to the question of how you're supposed to be Oved Hashem, so what have we seen? We've seen that the life of the Oved Hashem is one of tremendous tainug. Tainug in Olam Hazeh and tainug in Olam Haba. But we also saw, like Rav Soloveitchik said, that tainug is hard fought and hard earned. L'fum tzar agra, it doesn't come easily. And to arrive at that tainug, it does require hispatlos. It does require hispatlos. It does require sacrifice. It's not easy. The religious experience is not one which is always full of joy. And if you go into it thinking that, you know, I'm going to get this because it's all fun and joy, you'll probably be disappointed. It does require sacrifice. That's what we talk about, Ol Malchus Shamayim. It's an Ol, an Yira. But the ultimate destination is something so great. We've also seen how a person ideally should be motivated by something that is totally beyond them. The ideal Oved Hashem, the Ma'ala of Avram Avinu, was Avodas Hashem Me'ava, something that is totally beyond self-interest. That's the Avodas Hashem of a Chassid. But we saw that Madriga is something that's very high. First of all, to get there, you need to start off with a more self-interested Avodas Hashem. Li'olam Yasok Adam B'Torah Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. You have to do it. And someone who has this naive piety where they say, you know, I don't want that at all, is probably never going to get to the high madrigos where, in fact, they have transcended themselves and they have been mevatel themselves. And especially we've seen that when addressing others, you have to be very careful about this. Chachamim yizehru bidvareichem. When he said, Al tiyu kavadim hamishamshen esarav al menas lekabel pras, that caused tzaddik and baisos to go off the derech. And so, chachamim yizehru bidvareichem. And it's a lot better if people are ovid Hashem for schar than if they're not ovid Hashem at all. So, be very careful what you preach. That's true, of course, in our own avodas Hashem, and it's true also in others. But at the same time, you know, some people are ready and able, even if they're not yet from, to appreciate the message that, the true message that you, the ultimate goal is to get beyond yourself. It's not just about a higher grade pleasure, but it is about the experience of getting beyond ourselves. So we're out of time. We did the first third of what I was hoping to do today, but maybe we'll continue with this next week. And so what I want to talk about next time, Be'ezus Hashem, is this issue that the Ramchal we saw brought up, which is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Is it for us? Is it for him? L'chvodo parasiv? L'sanegal Hashem? Which one is it? Can we even understand it? And then, from there, what I'd like to turn to is the very basic question of the purpose of mitzvos. And are mitzvos for us or for him? Is it tzarech gavoa or tzarech hedyot? And what does it mean when we say that we should try to give nachas ruach liyotzro? So, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll pick up with this next week. Everyone should have a chodesh tov, a good Shabbos, stay safe, and thank you very much.
Can I ask Rabbi a question?
Good Shabbos.
Sure.
The Rambam about tzaddik and baisos, I don't really understand it well. He seems to be saying because of they didn't understand him correctly, and then they started an entirely new religion on not understanding. Like, he never clarified to them, like, no, I meant, like, I just don't get, like, does he not mean it historically? Or I don't understand, like.
I wasn't there, I don't know. But the answer is, to be honest, that I could tell you as a teacher that oftentimes I say one thing and the students understand something else. And sometimes I have no awareness of the misunderstanding of my Talmidim. So that's a chisaron in me. But it could happen. So obviously, you know, we're not saying that tzaddik and baisos were without blame. And if they misunderstood, they should have sought clarification. And maybe their misunderstanding was their own fault. I mean, we're not saying they're blameless. But what the Rambam's also saying is that it's part of the responsibility of the teacher to preach a message that people can live up to. And sometimes when you give a shiur, whether it's a shiur that's so sophisticated that nobody really understands, or a shiur that encourages people to seek a high madrega of avodas Hashem when they're not there yet, right? Which is what happened over there. He was telling people to be Ovid Hashem Me'ava, to do what's right because it's right. And his audience, that wasn't where they were holding by. The audience was much more ready to hear shir that you should do mitzvos, because if you do mitzvos, you'll be rewarded, and the pleasure of that reward is greater than anything you could possibly imagine. And that anything that you're giving up for Torah is, in the long run, an incredible investment. And this will bring you happiness in Olam Hazeh and happiness in Olam Haba. That's the shir that he should have been giving. And instead he was giving a shir about how you should be Ovid Es Hashem Me'ava, Oses Emes Mipnei Shu Emes. And that wasn't the lesson that they were ready to hear. So when they heard that lesson, they said, good. So, you know, we want a religion that You know, we're not interested in a religion that's telling us to get beyond ourselves and sacrifice and the like. Now, again, I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell you what exactly he said, but Chacham Yizaro Bidvareichem, that there was the lesson we're supposed to learn from that is that we have to be careful how we teach.
Rabbi, could I ask a question?
Sure.
So when you're explaining,
maybe I'm just going to stop recording. But
so when. Go